Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We were talking in yesterday's class about living by faith and how that faith is not just how you get saved, how you get born again. It's how you do everything. It's how you live and in every area of life. And so if that's the way we live, this is not just a topic to learn a few points about. This is 24/7. This is our whole life, how we are to function. And this is a radically different way of living than unsaved, ungodly. Radically different. It's a complete different way of seeing things, hearing, speaking, acting, reacting. And so when you're born again, you don't know all of that immediately. And that's why the scripture says in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you're born again, you're a new creation on the inside, but your mind didn't automatically know everything. And all of your wrong thinking from your past didn't just evaporate. So you need input, and you need a lot of it. And since we're to live this way every day, we need input all the time, right? And so that's what Faith School is about, to not just talk about your ideas or my ideas or this or that churches or denominations, positions or tenets. We're focusing on 100% genuine faith food. Amen. Yes. It is written, amen. Anointed by the Spirit. Yes. That will do it for you. Amen. That'll build you up on the inside. That will push all the doubt and fear out and leave you full of faith. Father, we all do. We agree as touching this. We come before you. We ask for this, for the utterance, for the anointing, for the grace, for the direction, for the answers for now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been feeding our faith on faith for provision. You need faith for the material part of life and the financial part of life. Do you need some money in life and in the world? That was a little weak. Yes, you do.
Yes.
Every day, right? Yeah. You need some money. Now, money won't buy the most important things. But you also need some things, some stuff. You don't necessarily have to have money to get the stuff. God can get you the stuff without the money. But He wants you to have the money and the stuff.
Amen.
You think? Does He or doesn't He? See, that's the issue, because religious tradition has either come outright and said it, or at least inferred it, implied it, that lack and poverty even is associated with righteous and godly. And it is not. It is not. This is a new idea, a new theory. I mean, some of the points that we've already been through, if you asked Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, if they thought poverty was the will of God and plan of God, they would look at you like, are you nuts? What God are you talking about? Right? Because all of them knew a God who made them absolutely wealthy, of the wealthiest in that whole part of the world. And so people say, yeah, but you know, money's the root of all evil. It is not. That's not scripture. That's not true. That's not right. It's the love of it. And people say, well, same thing. No, not the same thing. You can have no money and just lay around and dream about what you could do with money. You can love money and have none of it. Well, then if that's true, you could have a lot of it and not love it. Loving it is not the same thing as having it. God is not opposed to us having abundance. He's opposed to us being covetous.
Yes.
That's the problem. The scripture said covetousness is idolatry. That means you have a God other than God. You have replaced God with something else in the number one spot in your heart and life. You think more about this, and you crave this more, and you search after this and work after this more than you do God and His plan. And millions are doing that right now today, and that is a problem. But it's not the money. It's a heart problem. Huh? It's a priority problem. It's who's your Lord? Who's your God? On the other side of this, money in this world and things are ability. And sure, you can do bad stuff with money, but you can do good stuff with money. Money in and of itself is not evil. It's what you do with it. And you know, you can get money by wrong actions and means. You can be a thief and a liar and a robber. But you could also get it the right way.
Amen.
God can add it to you.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And He adds no sorrow to it. There's no downside. There's no negative to it. And what we have set ourselves for year after year and decade after decade in this ministry and with our churches, we know the more resources we have, the more we can do.
Exactly.
The more the gospel we can preach and the more people we can help. During COVID, when everything shut down in so many places, you know, believing what we believe and expecting and following the Lord in these things, He had enabled us to have all of our bills paid ahead of time and reserves, and we were able to help scores of other churches and ministries make it through that time. We were able to send offerings to people. I don't know how many. It must have been some 50 or so ministries and churches, but there must have been 20 or 30 of them that were losing their buildings, losing their properties because they hadn't been able to have service, hadn't had any offerings for weeks and months. And the Lord gave us the resources to send to them, hallelujah, that didn't lose their church. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Well, you couldn't do it without the money, without the resources. And somebody said, well, you know, it just, you know, happened to be God's will for you to have it. No, there's a connection. We believe what He said about abundance, right? And we believe big, we talk big, we give big, and we reap big. This doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen randomly. No, whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. But why you would do it or not do it comes back to what you believe. And what you believe comes back to what you've been hearing.
Yes.
What's been preached to you. What's been taught to you. What you've been listening to. And what you've been saying.
Yes.
So that's why we've been camping on this for months now. Faith for provision.
Yes.
It is God's will.
Yes.
Abundant provision,
abundant provision.
Is always God's will for us all. Now, if you don't believe that, you're at a disadvantage. You are limited. If you don't believe what I just said, if you say, well, I just don't know that I, you know, you're looking around, there's a lot of people in poverty and lack. Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are lost that don't believe in God. Is it God's will for people to be lost?
No,
He said He's not willing that any should perish.
Right.
Yeah, but people are perishing. So what's happening? Things are happening that are not the will of God. Why? Because man really does have a free will and a free choice. And if we don't choose to believe him and go with him, then we won't have his perfect will. If you want his perfect will in your life, you've got to do his perfect will for your life. Amen. It fits together. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go with me back to Deuteronomy and let's remind ourselves of this. We've been talking about, we're down to reason number 18 in our study. Go to Deuteronomy 11 first off, please. Deuteronomy 11. We're down to number 18 in our study of 30 reasons from Scripture why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And this is number 18, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. In Deuteronomy 28, we went through a lot of detail in that in previous lessons, seeing exactly what the curse of the law is. And the curse of the law, let me just review a little bit. The curse of the law is destruction, desolation, it is drought and famine, it is fear and defeat, it is loss and lack, it's sickness and dying young and wrong. It leads to oppression and madness, even insanity. Now, every one of these things I just mentioned, that you'll see them in detail in Leviticus 26 and in Deuteronomy 28. This is the curse. Is the curse God's will sometimes?
No.
If it's in the curse, it can never be the will of God.
That's right.
Never. Now, I know I've said this several times in the last few weeks of our teaching this, but I can't overemphasize it, because so much of the world and so much of the church world believes, whether they say it like this or not, they believe that the curse is sometimes God's will, that he uses it to teach, to develop, to work his mysterious, unknowable will. This is a lie. This, as we studied in previous lessons, this is a doctrine, a teaching of demons, calling good evil, and evil good, and light darkness, and darkness light. Isaiah warned about that. Woe to those that do that. No, God is not good and evil.
Amen.
His will is not curse and blessing.
That's right.
Mm-mm. It's not. The Bible said God is light.
Yes.
And in him is
no
darkness at all. One translation says not even one particle. None at all. Just light, all light, all the time. The darkness in the evil and the curse is the result of the enemy's work. There's a devil. There are demons. And there are people that have rejected God. And because of sin, the curse came in. And because of sin and death is all the cruelty, all of the tragedy that's in the earth today. And none of that is God's will. None of it. If you read the end of the book, he's about to fix it all.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
When God gets through with this thing, and it's not his choice that man sinned and rebelled against him, but he's got a plan, and when he's done with this, there will be no more curse, no more death, no more darkness. New heaven, new earth. Something to look forward to, huh? Deuteronomy 11:26. The Lord had said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." Do we have commandments today in the new covenant?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Sure we do. All the commandments that God ever gave are still good and true and right and perfect today. Nothing wrong with them. The Ten Commandments we talk about. How many think you'll have no other gods before you is still a good idea today? Don't lie, don't steal, don't murder, don't covet, honor your mother and father. Still right? Still? Yes. Still, certainly. But instead of just trying to be righteous by keeping the law, we don't do that. Our faith is in what Jesus has done. Amen. To make us righteous. And yet, the New Testament said, if we walk in love, and that's what the Master said, I give you a new commandment, right? That you love one another as I have loved you. The Scripture said, if you love, you have fulfilled the commandments. Amen. That everything is encompassed in that. Walking by faith, walking in love, being led by the Spirit covers everything that we read about in the laws and statutes and ordinances. But how many know that's a full day? Yes. Is that right? Walking in faith all day long in everything, walking in love with everybody, including some of these knuckleheads you come across. Even had to repent for calling them a knucklehead. And then being led by the Spirit. This is how we live under the new covenant. And if you do that all the time, if that's how you live, then you will be fulfilling what was given in the laws and statutes and ordinances. And he says, if you do that, a blessing if you obey. Verse 28, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but you turn aside out of the way that I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Deuteronomy 29:9, let's just look at a couple of others while we're here. Deuteronomy 29:9, and this of course is right after Deuteronomy 28, all that he had just got through saying in 28. He said, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You know, we've had people, you know, they think they're slandering us by saying, you're one of those prosperity preachers, aren't you? What is that? Huh? You mean I'm a Bible preacher? Hallelujah. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Well, if you don't preach prospering is another word for success. Success. And success is not a dollar amount. Success means, if you're successful, it means you got there. Huh? Right. You set out to do this, and you didn't get halfway and flop. You accomplished it. Yeah. You got there. Success, triumph, abundance, extra, surplus, having your needs met, and like we were saying earlier, being a giver. Yes. Deuteronomy 30, if you would look there. Deuteronomy 30, these words of truth still just as true today as they ever were. And let's look in verse 6 and 7. He said, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Does he still want us to love him with all our heart, all our soul and being? Does he still want us to live and not die? Yes. And the Lord your God, he's talking about if you'll obey him, if you'll follow him, he'll put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate you, which persecuted you. This is something our enemies need to know. Yes. That he proclaimed that if we would walk in the blessing, those that bless us would be blessed. Amen. And those who curse us will be cursed. So that's why I touch on, we'll get to more of this in just a minute, I think, but anybody that would think they can curse those who are blessed of God, they need to make the curse in their size, because it's going to boomerang right back on you. Because the Creator of the universe has declared it and decreed it. Those that he blessed are blessed. And you cannot curse who he has blessed.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
You can't change it. That make you bigger than God. That make you stronger than God. And you are not. And that's the understatement of the year. He said, you return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commands, which I command you this day. The Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand. And we saw that everything you put your hand to would prosper. That's the blessing power causing everything you do to move forward and to go up. That's divine help. Hallelujah. My elder of mine and friend of mine, Brother Jerry Savelle, has great ministry for many years, gone to be with the Lord now. He had a great revelation concerning favor and blessing, and he would say this over himself all the time. And I saw it work, traveling around with him and seeing things. Favor followed this man, and everywhere he went, good things had happened. Just you're sometimes scratching your head going, wow, look at this. Where did this come from? But he believed it. He believed this. Where did he get it? Right here, same place we're talking about. He believed he was blessed. And he decreed it. He declared it. And he experienced it. And he would say this, the blessing of the Lord is on me. The favor of the Lord surrounds me. And something good is going to happen to me today.
Amen.
I think you ought to say it real clear. Say it out loud. The blessing of the Lord,
is on me.
It rests on me.
It rests on me.
All the time. The favor of the Lord surrounds me. Everywhere I go,
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed when I go out.
I'm blessed when I come in.
Everything I put my hand to
prospers.
And something good
is happening for me.
Today,
in these days,
in this season,
now in this time,
good things abound
in my life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now think about how radically different that is from this. I tell you, nothing good ever happens to me. I don't know what they're carrying on about. I get a step or two ahead and get knocked back three. Seemed like everything's against me. Well, biggest things against you is right under your nose. Huh? Your mouth. Your words. And what you're showing, if you talk like that, you don't believe this.
Amen.
You don't believe this. You've either ignored this or rejected this. And that's a grave mistake. I believe this. I'm agreeing with this.
Hmm?
This belongs to me. I belong to it.
Amen.
The Lord will make me plenteous in every work of my hand. The fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land for good. The Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He had warned them in following verses that if they ignored him, if they rejected him, if they replaced him with other gods, the curse would come on them and devastate them and destroy them. But even if they had hit rock bottom and lost everything, he said, look to me, call on me, repent. Is that right?
Yes.
Come back to me. And we talked about this already. I'll restore you. I'll restore you. And instead of the curse, you will again experience the blessing.
Amen.
And that's what he said in verse 19. If you'd look at that, Deuteronomy 30:19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you. Now let's stop before we read the rest of this. What is this calling heaven and earth to record? Oh, I hope you're listening, everybody. Because they're one of the worst doctrine of demons in the earth today is that God is controlling everything and responsible for everything that's happening. That's a doctrine of demons. I said, what, Brother Key? You heard me. This is what he's saying. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you. Do you hear what he's saying here?
Yes.
Who's choosing this? He said, I'm giving this to you.
Yes.
Why would he be so strong about this? Because millions everywhere are blaming God for everything and saying that whether it was blessing or curse was somehow God's mysterious choice all over the earth. It's not true. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. What's the understood subject? You choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey his voice and cleave to him. Is this still right?
Yes.
That you love him,
yes.
Listen to him,
yes.
And cleave to him,
yes.
For he is your life and the length of your days. Is he still our life?
Yes.
Is he still our source of every good thing? See, he made it so clear. And I mean, he calls everybody in heaven. Angels, celestial beings, everybody. Every being on the earth. He said, I want it clear. You heard me? You heard me. Everybody heard me. This is your choice. Not my choice. Your choice. Life or death? Blessing or cursing? He didn't just stop there. He said, choose life. Choose the life.
Amen.
Choose the life. How are you going to choose that? By choosing him. Loving him. Trusting him. Obeying him.
Yes.
Listening to him.
Yes.
And you get it all.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. You get it all. Well, our time's up again. Everybody say it like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you again next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390